Welcome to the Project Zion podcast. This podcast explores the unique spiritual and theological gifts Community of Christ offers for today's world.
Thank you for joining us for Coffee in the Swarm. Today, this is part of Project Zion podcast. And today I'm honored to have Lexi Frazier, who is with us today, a Graceland student. Lexi, welcome to Coffee in the Swarm.
Thank you, Mike.
Yeah.
I'm excited.
I am excited too. We were just talking before we started the recording. And first of all, tell us a little bit about yourself. What year are you at Graceland here?
I'm Lexi Frazier. I am a junior. I'm studying elementary education and Hispanic studies here at Graceland University. I'm originally from Holden, Missouri, but I attend the congregation in Oak Grove, Missouri, which my mother is a pastor of. I don't know if there's that much else to know about me.
Okay. Well, before we started recording, we were visiting a little bit, and she reminded me of the first time we met. So you said we met at Spectacular.
Yes. I think it was my freshman year.
Freshman year at Spec.
Yeah. I was at Spectacular and I had just recently lost a friend. Right. And I was really, really struggling with that. And one of the people that attends Spec that I know very well, his name is Bruce Watson, and he attends the Odessa congregation, which is why I know him. And he said, I'm going to put you in touch with Mike. He's the campus minister. You guys are going to sit down and chat, and hopefully he will give you some guidance and help you deal with this. And I remember me and you met. You came to me. I was sitting at the benches outside of the commons.
Oh, yeah.
Underneath that tree. And I remember you came to me, and we talked for a little while, and that's how I met you.
So that was your freshman year at Graceland?
My freshman year
of high school.
In 2016, I think.
Oh, wow. Okay. Okay.
It's been a while.
Wow. That has been a long time. Then that's a long time when we met. So, okay.
And then I completely forgot about you. And then
I
came here and I was like, oh, wait, that's that really nice guy that helped me that one day.
Yeah. Wow. I thank you for remembering. Boy, that's longer ago than I can remember. Yeah. that's wild. And especially wild because he connected you with me at Spectacular
I guess he knew that
somehow we needed to do that.
Yeah. You're a person I needed a connection to.
Yeah. Well, I hope that's, you know, part of why you're at Graceland and those kinds of things. So I don't know now whether to ask my next question because it's somewhat loaded because your mom's your pastor, right?
Yes.
So I was going to ask what's church like in your area, but maybe I should say, what is it like to have a mom as your pastor?
Ooh.
And you can take either question.
Yeah, yeah, that one's a hard one. Because my mother is my pastor, and she's also the person who pulled me into my congregation and being actively involved. It's really awesome. She's my guide spiritually.
Yeah.
And I always have access to her. That being said, being a pastor's student,
a PK,
not a pastor's student, a pastor's child, is hard because I experience dealing with the way that my mom is constantly involved, and then I also am very involved in church. It does get to be a lot because when I'm not doing my own thing, I'm following mom to go to church hours early and set up.
To be mom's helper.
Exactly.
Yes.
Being mom's helper on top of being a priesthood member and active.
That's right.
It causes a lot of time in the church building.
Yeah. And you, we didn't mention at the beginning of the show, but you are actually a priest in the church as well.
Yes, I am.
And so tell me about, you came to Graceland as a priest. So
yes,
how old were you when you were ordained?
I was 18 years old when I was ordained.
Okay.
It was my senior year of high school, November 25th, 2018.
All right.
And I don't know. I did a lot of ministry back home. And a lot of that was more just, I'm really involved in like youth camps and stuff like that. So at, back home at my mission center, I'm on a lot of those mission center council committees. And so I think the hardest adjustment at Graceland was deciding, how does this priesthood office and what I'm called to do in this priesthood office change when I'm not at home?
Oh, that's really
good.
How
does it change when I am on campus?
And yeah.
Because it is a change in ministry.
Sure, it is. I mean,
yeah.
You've just said so much, because it's like, and the longer I'm here, the more I realize how much it changes,
yeah.
You know, like changes from year to year, because the students involved change year to year, but then in 4 years or five, depending on how long you're here, which, yeah. You know, it totally changes over. There's no other congregation like it anywhere. So, yeah, so that's really an astute observation on your part, because it is very different. And, you know, I appreciate you, the way you've served with campus ministries. I mean, I know right now you're serving a student pastor.
Yes.
Would you, let's see, have you been student pastor 2 years now?
No.
Okay.
I started out my freshman year, I worked for Safe Ride, which technically is a part of campus ministry.
That's right. That's right.
My sophomore year, I served as Sunday morning worship coordinator.
Oh, yes.
And then now as a junior, I am a student pastor.
All right. Yes. Yes.
So, heavily involved in campus ministries, which is something that drew me to Graceland anyway.
Yeah, that's one of the questions I was going to ask you. So what brought you to Graceland? Do you think it was the connection to ministry? And
for sure.
Okay. And you said you're an elementary education major, so.
Yes. Yeah. And I think it's interesting to see how ministry will apply to being a teacher.
Oh, yeah.
When I first started actively getting involved in the church, because I I converted, right?
Oh, yes, right, okay.
I was baptized as a Catholic as a child.
Okay.
Wasn't extremely practicing. And then when I met my mom, who is my stepmother that's adopted me, that's mm-hmm. the whole story.
Yeah.
She was already involved in church. She's a priest at the time. She dragged me along, and it was something.
Was it really a drag? I mean, I know not physically,
not but it, she was my guide. And then, you know, coming up to spec and seeing.
Oh, sure.
Even though the community's not the same, there is a draw that I feel to Graceland and Lamona.
Okay.
And I think it's because of the people.
So the church, then to camps, mm-hmm. and then to spec,
yes.
and then to Graceland. Uh-huh. So
because yeah. when I first came here, I knew people. I knew when Chris Dykman was here, I knew her from camps. I feel bad now. All the people that I'm like going to start with, like I can list aren't here
at Graceland. Yeah.
But when I first came here as a freshman, I had already had connections through church and camp.
Sure.
And I knew people, and I had a support system already set up here.
Yeah.
I knew people that would take care of me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the things that I've continuously appreciated about Graceland.
Yeah.
Is I know that I have a support system.
Yeah. And even though people have changed, and, you know, that's one of the things we talked about, students change, but so do faculty and staff oh, yeah. members and administrators. So there's been a fair amount of change in the 6 years I've been here. So, yeah. So how would you describe, you've mentioned your involvement in campus ministry and specific things, but, you know, is there anything else you'd add about that? I mean, in terms of campus ministries, I think back when my memories of you, okay, mm-hmm. are like seeing you serve communion at our services, you know, mm-hmm. and we do them a little differently here than a lot of congregations. We had people come forward, and, you know, and a good part of your experience at Graceland has been during COVID, exactly. unfortunately,
yeah.
which we've been blessed to figure out some ways we can still meet, because we're sort of in this Graceland COVID bubble that congregations really can't manage, but we can. And and so we've been meeting, although we're still masks, and you know, I mean, our students are in class, so so how that's certainly been a way that's been different for you. I mean,
for sure. And I think that's kind of a theme that we've been talking about in general, is that Graceland is rapidly changing, and COVID has heightened that experience.
Yeah.
Right. And so being involved with campus ministries during COVID while in school, there is a lot of things to balance. And it definitely has taught me prioritizing things and how to be so malleable. That's the word.
Oh, good.
How to be able to adjust quickly.
Okay.
COVID,
and I thought, yeah.
COVID's obviously something that I care about, and both me and you, and I guess for listeners that don't know, I do have a lot of experience with COVID.
That's right.
From the technical side as well.
Well, because of your work experience outside of Graceland. So yes. What is...
So when I work back home, I work as needed at a nursing home.
Okay.
And I got the very unique opportunity last winter break, so 2021, to work on a COVID unit, a COVID isolation unit.
Yeah.
And I feel like that prepared me a lot for then the transition back up to Graceland in the heat of COVID. Because now I had all this knowledge on the technical aspects. And essentially, when I was on the COVID unit, my job was ministry.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Honest. I am an activities instructor. Like, that's my official title.
Okay.
So when I was on the unit, a lot of what I did was emotional, mental, physical, health, and working towards that. And a large part of that was spiritual. But I feel like it prepared me for now at Graceland. I can relate to the students. And I also know the importance and can stress the importance of staying safe.
Yeah, absolutely. Which is so important, but can be challenging too. So
it's a hard balance, really. Like, how do you assess the risk, because I think there's always going to be a risk forever now of COVID, and how do you
we'd like to keep thinking there's an end in sight, but it, you know, and maybe it'll evolve to something where it's, I don't know, where it's like the flu every year and we have to get shots, and it becomes, I hate to say this, but manageable, you know, instead of,
And I think that applies to all ministry as well.
Yeah.
Like, you need to assess the risks versus the benefits.
Oh, that's, that's a good, another great thought. Yeah. Yeah. So,
enough about COVID.
Yeah. No kidding. So of course now my next question is like, so obviously you're coming here to become an elementary education major. So plans are to teach?
Yes.
And obviously elementary school somewhere?
Yeah.
I mean, do you have an idea about where you want to teach, or?
That's kind of all over the place for me.
Okay.
I specifically am getting an endorsement in special education.
Okay.
That's
excellent.
And so that has such a high demand field that I'm not super worried about getting a job.
Oh, no. I was thinking more of like, you might be able to just to say, like, pick an area and you can move there if you want.
That's why it's so hard for me to say what I'm doing, is because I have that freedom to say. Yeah. Hey,
well, where do you want to go?
I mean,
maybe we should put it that way.
I'm not completely sure yet.
Okay, that's fair.
Right now,
I mean, you've got another year of school left, so
right now the plan is Florida.
Oh,
but I rapidly change where I'm going.
Well, somewhere where it's warmer, considering we're right as we're talking today, we have what's left of about, I don't know, 6 or 8 inches of snow on the ground here. Yes, I even was gifted with a snowblower this year, and I can't believe how I've never had a snowblower before in Lamoni, Iowa. So I'm very grateful. So,
warmer for sure, more sun.
Well, let's change gears a little bit. So,
obviously you're a priest in the church and you're heavily involved in campus ministries. And so if you could think about the church in the future, like what are your hopes for Community of Christ in the future? What's maybe one thing you would want Community of Christ leadership to know about you, about what you see in the future and what's important?
I always struggle with this question. It's a huge question. And a lot of the issues that I feel very passionate about, I feel like as a world church, we have made so much progress on.
Yeah.
And so with all of that and saying all of that, I think my biggest problem right now is how much, exactly how much theology and beliefs change depending on which congregation.
Even person to person, but that drives the specific congregations. Yeah.
Person to person, but they're, especially being in Missouri, rural Missouri, my congregation and my mission center in general, I feel like we are pretty with the times and
okay.
Because World Church has changed theology drastically.
Well, certainly there's been a lot of change and
yes.
Yeah.
And so when you see smaller congregations, like I have seen congregations in Missouri where they haven't somehow, they haven't gotten that knowledge and or ignored that knowledge. And so
still struggling to make those changes.
Yes. Yeah. And I feel like there's a disconnect sometimes between those small individual congregations and World Church.
Yeah.
Specifically the issue that I tend to deal with the most, and it's just because of my personal experience, but LGBTQIA plus issues. That's a very new thing. That was 2013 in North America.
Right.
And
that's true in the United States and Canada. It's not true for the church everywhere. Yeah, exactly. Around the world, but right.
But, you know, and I think my biggest frustration is that, you know, as a lesbian priest, I still, even though North America in 2013, right, you know, the World Church as a whole says that's fine, but there's congregations that have that disconnect. And I don't know how to mend that gap.
Yeah.
Right. And so
yeah,
it's so hard for me because, you know, like I could go home to Missouri and be a lesbian priest. It's just fine, but don't talk about it.
Okay.
Versus okay. Where I find safe spaces, like with Sacred Pause and Harmony and other congregations, that's a little bit more accepting.
Yeah.
And I don't even just see it on that issue.
Yeah,
I see
sure.
It on several different issues.
Okay.
Right? It's this disconnect between, oh, World Church says this and we believe this as a whole, but is each individual congregation modeling that?
And embracing the change might be difficult for some, and therefore it doesn't happen in some places, maybe.
Exactly. And gotcha. I wish I could be the grand wizard and tell you exactly how to fix that.
Gotcha.
But I want... I don't even know if it's like on a world church level or a congregational level or a mission center level, but
I don't know.
I feel like there needs to be more education on those things.
Yeah. I'm sure education would help. I also, it's been a joy to get to know you and work with you here in campus ministry. So there's a part of me that wonders, and let me phrase this as a question.
Okay.
You know, it's like, do you think it's individual as well as all those, because like I know it impacts a congregation that you might try to serve in or something, but it's like when I get to know people, those barriers for me go away, you know what I mean? And so it's like do you think as you get to know people or they get to know you in whatever congregation you might end up in?
Yes, I think that's valuable, especially. And I've seen that, right? My congregation in specific, I have made a connection with those people. Those people know me.
Okay.
They know who I am and what I stand for and my core identity.
Yeah.
Right. And so I think that that's why me coming out was received so well.
Yeah.
Right.
Did you grow up in that congregation?
I started
attending
at the age of 8.
Okay. Okay.
So,
like 10 years or something.
Yeah. I've been in there a very long time.
Yeah.
12 years before I came out.
Okay.
But also additionally, I struggle with that idea because I don't want to be their face for like, oh yeah, 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 it's okay. I don't want to be the representative
right,
for everybody.
Right.
Because that's
right.
A lot of weight.
Well, yeah, no. I mean, I can equate that a little bit to my life experience. Sometimes as the campus minister, mm-hmm. I end up getting asked questions about official church doctrine or policy. And it's like, I can't speak for the whole church, exactly. You know,
yeah.
And you don't want to speak for the whole community, the LGBTQIA.
Yes. And so that's the problem is it's like, yes, I'm a gay priest and I'm in your congregation. And, you know, you may not know any other,
right.
You may not know any other queer Christians, you may not know any other queer people in the church,
and it's also
queer ministers, and I don't want to I don't want to be that person's soul.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. But at the same time, you are willing to answer questions about that, though, that aspect. So it's like you can't speak for everybody, is what I understand you saying. So okay, yeah, that makes total sense.
It's nice because it gets that person's mind open, you know.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, I love Lexi. I grew up with Lexi. I know that Lexi values all of these things. So like maybe she's not terrible, right?
Are not terrible.
Maybe not all gay people are terrible, but I don't want, and it's good to get that door open.
Sure.
Anyway, whole point of what I was trying to say is that I want to see a little bit more education on the World Church's core beliefs in theology. And I want to see that more widespread throughout
that makes sense.
Congregations, because I see that disconnect.
I know some congregations, you know, they have studied or will study or are studying the enduring principles. And for me, some of what you shared might be wrapped up in the enduring principles, at least some of the enduring principles, the way we understand them, like the worth of all persons, you know, all are called, that those, to me, you exonerate those particular ones. I mean, you know, because of our working relationship and our friendship.
And I'm lucky enough, and once again, I think it's because I was so involved and my mom is my pastor. I'm lucky enough that I know those things and I know those basic theology. But you could go into a congregation and ask them, what do we stand for? And they might not even be able to tell you.
Yeah. No, that's, right? Yep. Well, and, you know, like I'm a little older than you. And when the enduring principles were first articulated, I was thrilled because prior to that, we didn't really have words to encapsulate who we were, like the being part, not the doing part, but the being part. And I, you know, so what I hear you saying is you also value those, all the enduring principles, but particularly, so.
Yes, I value those,
those
enduring
principles. Those actually have been articulated in your lifetime too.
Yes,
I mean, technically.
I
so.
Value those. Yeah. I value mission initiatives because I feel it is guidance and it's a very simple, easy way for you to go to a congregation and say, hey, this is boiled down what we are.
Yeah.
And I don't know, it might be a congregational problem that you know, like, as a congregation, there are congregations that don't necessarily have that knowledge and or care to have that knowledge or put that to practice.
So is there anything else you'd like to share about you personally, Graceland, the church, the future?
I'm not a future teller, unfortunately. and, you know, I always have my own views about, like, what I want to see in the future. And
sure.
That's always changing depending on who the person. I guess the only thing that I really have left to say, specifically because this is like, oh, we're in a swarm and this is a Graceland thing. Graceland has provided me amazing support systems, and Campus Ministries has, and I am extremely grateful for that. Throughout my time here, I've really struggled with my mental health. Obviously, like I said, I just recently came out, so that was a struggle as well. And the support that I receive from this community and from Campus Ministries has always been something extremely valued by me. And so I think if I had to say anything about Graceland, I would just stress the importance of the ministry that we do here, because it doesn't always get seen. There's not always, there's things that happen behind closed doors that not everybody on this campus sees. There's times where we'll meet with a student one-on-one and we'll assess what that student needs and we'll provide those needs. And that doesn't always go seen. There's a lot of things that Campus Ministries does that aren't as public as coffee and tea talks or Sunday morning worship.
Yeah.
And I think that not a lot of students realize that because they don't have the relationship with Campus Ministries that I and other people are very fortunate to have. And so I think the biggest thing that I can just stress is come hang out with us, right? Like, Campus Ministries doesn't have to be you coming to me and being like, I have this major theological question. No. Campus Ministries can be coming into the office and asking if you can do homework and sit in silence, right? We as campus ministers and as ministers in general, not just Graceland, really just ministry does not have to be what you think it is. And there's valuable ministry and things like the ministry of presence and ministry of friendship that I feel goes underrated a lot. And so about Graceland, about ministry in general, like just be there. Don't be afraid to reach out for help, specifically talking to Graceland students or people who are struggling.
Lexi, thank you. And you know, a perfect way to end our show, because you've said so much about ministry, but not only have you said it, but you've done it. And I want to thank you for your ministry here.
I try.
You do.
I, especially as somebody, like I said, who has gone through these struggles at Graceland, I'm very public about my struggles as well, and always have been. But it is hard to see the ministry that you are providing when you are in a dark place like that.
Absolutely.
And so I want to thank you and also remind everybody who struggles like I do for acknowledging that I'm still doing ministry, even when I'm trying my hardest and I feel like I'm not doing enough. You can't beat yourself up over it.
And amen.
So I really appreciate you reminding me that I'm doing valuable things.
That's right.
Even if I don't think I am.
Oh, you are.
So,
well, thank you, Lexi Frazier.
That's
me.
And
thank you for joining us for Coffee in the Swarm. And we'll see you next time. Thanks.
Of course.
Thanks for listening to Project Zion Podcast. Subscribe to our podcast on Apple Podcast, Stitcher, or whatever podcast streaming service you use, and while you are there, give us a 5-star rating. Project Zion Podcast is sponsored by Latter-day Seeker Ministries of Community of Christ. The views and opinions expressed in this episode are of those speaking and do not necessarily reflect the official policy or position of Latter-day Seeker Ministries or Community of Christ. The music has been graciously provided by Dave Hines.